Hi, my name's Julie Mackin. I wanted to talk about two burning issues and thought I would have to decide between the two. Then I really thought about both of them and realised that though they seem worlds apart, they are intimately related to each other. So let me start with the first one, converting our opera house into a billboard for the gambling industry. This is a problem for numerous reasons, but here are three. First, Alan Jones was able to get his outcome, which was advertising an industry he has a financial stake in, by bullying the CEO of the Opera House on the radio and saying that if she didn't do as he commanded, he would tell the New South Wales Premier to sack her. To her credit, CEO Louise Herron held her nerve and dignity and assured Jones that she would be maintaining the principles that have guided the Opera House for years. They're not complex. They are simply that our place is not a billboard, so no names, logos or gambling companies would be on the sales. The fact that Jones's bullying worked, with the New South Wales Premier scrambling to say that she would allow the gambling industry to do pretty well what they like, and that she was followed by Luke Foley, Labor Leader in Waiting Anthony Albanese, and the Prime Minister, all saying that gambling, horse racing, using the Opera House as a billboard was great news for Australia. The two Labor lads actually went further. They did their best working class hero impersonation by inferring that a denial of these businesses or massive corporations is somehow a form of class warfare, which was excruciatingly patronising pantomime to watch. So, lesson one, bullying works. Lesson two, this is all about money and making a lot of it for the very few who actually make a quid out of the game. Alan Jones has been a long-time owner of racehorses through his company, Belford Productions, and is a close friend and business associate of John Massara, the owner of Arrowfield Stud and chairman of Racing New South Wales. Jones doesn't have a horse running in the Everest Cup. Massara's company, Arrowfield Group, does. As a racehorse enthusiast and investor, Jones was also instrumental in urging the state government to cut New South Wales' racing parity tax in 2015 to bring it in line with Victoria. That tax cut will now cost New South Wales taxpayers $235 million in foregone revenue over 5 years. News Corp, which broke the story on the Opera House's refusal to allow the sales to be used as a billboard, also has close ties to Racing New South Wales, as the tabloids depend on a steady stream of income from Racing New South Wales, Racing Victoria and Tabcorp, which pay the company millions to print and distribute the form guides each week and gives the tabloids favouring advertising. So, bullying works. Money screams. But a little ray of light is that from a PR point of view, this win, apparent win, may cost the racing industry more than it can afford, because most people in New South Wales are extremely angry with the corporate takeover of such an important public place. And they will be joined by those who have grown uncomfortable with the sight of horses being flogged from one end of the track to the next. And the argument that the horses love racing kind of pales when you realise they're caned from go to woe. This overreach may yet unite a huge number of folks in New South Wales, angered by the takeover, horrified by the cruelty of the race itself. But the second issue that I wanted to talk about, and it is related to the first because it is all about bullying, is the decision by the Nauru bully boy, President Baron Waka, to order MSF to cease work immediately and leave Nauru, despite the health crisis on the island. MSF has been providing psychological and psychiatric services to residents, asylum seekers and refugees on the island since 2017. They're looking for more information from the government, including the reason for its decision and what alternate services would be available. The Nauru government didn't respond to the request for comment as usual. There are still close to 1,200 refugees on Nauru and about 90 remain. Late last month, however, Guardian Australia reported that the country's authorities had been unable to send an air ambulance to Nauru for a court-ordered medical transfer because the Nauru government refused permission. This is really extraordinary stuff. Ian Rintel, spokesman for Refugee Action Group, has said Nauru's decision was because MSF was perceived to be helping refugees. But of course, Nauru's decision is in fact the Australian government's decision. The Australian government runs Nauru and the detention centres on Nauru. A spokeswoman for Australia's Interior Ministry said the issue was a matter for Nauru's government, saying the Department of Home Affairs takes seriously its role in supporting the government of Nauru to ensure that refugees and asylum seekers are provided with a range of health, welfare and support services. But of course, we now know that Australia determines the treatment for refugees. So in this case, we can see bullying win again and money winning again. Because in this case, two-thirds of Nauru's budget comes from being Australia's jailers. Look, we've got to hope that the overreach of the gambling industry and indeed the overreach of both the Nauru and Australian government in throwing these poor people under a bus again actually makes people wake up and have a think. There are elections in New South Wales early next year. There's a federal government election looming. There's a by-election in Wentworth in a couple of weeks. Really, this is where we, the people, get to decide what is done in our name, and we need to not forget that we can't keep letting the bullies win.